Beloved, grace to you and peace from God, our holy parent, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I count it a joy to be here with you today, and I bring you greetings on behalf of our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, and your partners in ministry and our church-wide offices in Chicago, for our Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad.
I like the responsiveness of Epiphany Lutheran Church here. Praise be to God. I want to thank God for the hospitality and the welcome, not only from this congregation. I've been here for the last couple of days with the network of congregations here in this Synod, who have come together under a banner and a theme, the blood that unites. The blood that unites. We are wonderfully engaged, involved and invested in one another by the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that to the glory of God, trusting that God is leading us in ways deeper and deeper into relationship, life-changing, life-transforming relationships as communities of Jesus, not only in relationship to God, but in relationship to one another and in life-changing relationships to the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen?
Amen.
If there is anything, beloved, that we need to be mindful of today as we think about this gospel lesson and these parables that Jesus uses again, to teach us and to inform us and even to move us in our thinking and our recognition of our God-centered purpose, it is that word significance. Significance. There is a song of praise, and you may be familiar with it. A writer, Mark Pendergrass, years ago put this together, and it's been significant to me. He says, "The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you." Have you heard it? "The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you." How does that sound to you? Huh? I mean, just the idea of it. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Some of you, I see your lips moving. You know this. You know this. You know the second part of it. It moves from knowing to the greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. And then just when you think we've done it all, he takes us to a point in a place where he says, "The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you." From knowing in our first encounters of one another, in our relationship with God, coming to know one another and realizing that God's call and claim on our life and teaching and leading in our life through Jesus Christ is that we love one another. Did not our Lord say that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another? And that calls for an engagement, an engaging and an involving that calls us to invest ourselves in service to one another. in ways that make the world a different place. It is an amazing song, I think, when we sing it as an expression of love and desire for a deeper relationship with God. But our God, who is continuously incarnational, putting flesh and blood reality on our experiences of God, I believe challenges us out of our comfort zones to sing that kind of a love song to one another. Lord have mercy. Amen. What would it be like for us to express the significance of living in relationship with God as being people of God, Jesus' people, intentional about knowing, intentional about loving, intentional about serving, so intentional that a parable like Jesus lifts up in our gospel text for today makes amazing sense to us when it may make no sense to anyone else? I mean, what sense could it make for a shepherd to leave the 99 to go in search of one? First of all, we need to take notice in our gospel text that the shepherd takes responsibility. I've lost one. There were 100 and one is missing. And that's significant. One of the things that's significant about that is that first recognizing that someone is missing. Is that a part of our life together as faith community? Is that one of the ways that we demonstrate love and our concern for one another, that we take notice when one that perhaps through distraction or being seduced away from the center or being pushed away. Sometimes, you know, we do that as community. But we notice. It's significant. It's a significant part of our life together, our journey together in Christ, that we take notice. That we notice ones who have been marginalized by circumstances and situations not of their own creation, or even of our own faults and flaws. Noticing when one is gone. Noticing when one is missing. This parable today speaks of significance given. Significance that gives value and places value on the one. That something, that someone, more often seen or counted as insignificant. I mean, really, in the math of some, in the economy of some, what could be the significance of that one when it means that the shepherd, that shepherding presence, leaves the 99 even in the wilderness to go in search of the one? Well, beloved, I would say and suggest that it is of significance when I'm that one. Are we willing today? Are we recognizing today? Are each one of us aware that no matter who you are that one? Oh, could we break rank here for just a moment? Lean over to tell a neighbor, you're that one. I tell you what, let's do it this way. Say, I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm that one that God counted significant enough to leave all else to come in search of me. Look at the pattern that the shepherd lays out for us. And not only the shepherd, but this woman in the parable as well. These two parables together point to the extent to which God, the God of grace, will go to find us. And to make, and it may make no sense, yes, until we are that one. Or until we recognize what it's like to be that one who, for whatever reason, is lost or has wandered or has been distracted or seduced away or pushed away. Vulnerable, but valuable. Valuable to God who seeks after us. Look at this. the shepherd seeks and searches, having noticed, seeks and searches relentlessly till finding. And that must be a challenging parable to those Pharisees who are mumbling and grumbling because Jesus is sitting with a group of tax collectors and sinners. Now, this tax collector category that immediately gets lumped in with sinners of all kinds, somehow or another, causes the Pharisees, the leaders of the religious systems, that somehow become more legalistic than loving, at least in practice, to do no more than to criticize and grumble. Jesus talks about a compassion and a caring and a grace of God that takes action. This shepherd in the parable seeks relentlessly until finding and then lifts. There's a song of praise that says, "Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else would help. That grace of God lifted me." Is there anyone here know that experience, that reality of being lifted? Lifted from my condition, that condition of being lost and separated and isolated or in despair or depression or isolation. Anyone know what it's like to be lifted by the grace of God? Especially when that grace of God is a flesh and blood reality. The flesh and blood presence of a hand extended, a heart expressing a love that will not fail. There is this woman who notices that one of the 10 precious coins that she was given is missing, lost. She notices. And she sweeps diligently and she brings extra light on the situation. Beloved, we are in times and seasons now when there needs to be some fresh light brought on some of our situations and circumstances where people are experiencing tragically what it means to be lost, what it means to be relegated to positions of insignificance. The ones who get pointed at and labeled as not counting, or their lives don't matter. We need to know today and rejoice that by the grace of God, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who not only speaks in parables, but becomes that expression of God who stretches out arms to embrace, even from the cross, to give witness and testimony to our significance to God, that every life counts. That every life matters. That in the kingdom of God, every life is precious. And is a call to us, even from the cross, to love one another, to count one another significant, to value what God values in our life together as people of God. The peace of God be with you, Epiphany. God bless you.